Welcome back. We are... Don't interrupt me.
No, I'm gonna. This is episode 31 of the Slide In Podcast. Those of you who may be astute observationists might notice we're not in our normal studio.
Yes, we are in Big River. Can we see that? Probably not.
I'll take a picture.
We're in my really good friend Darren Calhoun's shop in DuBois. Wind River float trips.
Put a thumbs up.
Big there. Wind River float trips. Oops, get out of the way. Okay, here you go.
Cool.
I've never been in this shop. How long is this? 3 years? 4 years?
We've had the shop 4 years.
4 years. So you've all heard me talk a lot about fishing the wind with Darren and my favorite river in the world. So we're doing the upper. I've never done this section. Fished it yesterday. It was a blast. We in DuBois, and we saw... How many people? It was great. We rolled in for the bar. Every bar we went into, somebody watches the show.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Mark and
Ethan.
Stefan. Steven.
I ran into a whole bunch of fish
every
geeks.
Morning, we've met people that are fish geeks. Steven DeFold, I think. That was this morning. He was great. What a blast that guy was.
Yeah.
Trying to get him to switch over. He's been going to another shop. And so, but he's funny. He's hiking all over the place. We're driving back an hour on dirt roads to get to rivers we won't mention because nobody will ever do it. But who cares? It's secret to him.
Yep.
But it's been a blast. And so yesterday we floated probably the world record for me. I felt a little bit like I was in the... What's that Revenant movie? Is that what it's called?
Yes,
And he floats 24 miles. Shit.
Except for a bear's claws, it's just his own flies coming back at him really fast.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I wore out about, 8 hours in, maybe. My shoulder went south on me. Holy shit, did I do some fly donations.
Yeah. If you want free flies, come fish the wind. You'll find
shit.
Them
I mean, there's a wood pile down. I had world record thing for me. I threw up and missed my cast by 2 inches, and I hook a tree, flipped it over it, get it back, go back in on a roll cast, hit another one, roll it off again, and just go, screw it. And I unfolded it backwards and hit a rock and lost it.
Yeah. So
3 for 3.
So we were
it was
running,
like all time worst.
We were running two boats and, you know, I'm filming in the back boat and Kevin's rowing me down the river. And we just kept laughing, watching Kelly, you know, just fumbling around in the back of the boat. He found more wood. I didn't know it was possible.
So. Yes, it was not a good afternoon event for me.
But incredible river, super cool.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've said it a million times, my favorite. And
there's only one way to get on it, and that's through Darren's shop, which is Big Wind River. Big Wind Float Trips. Big Wind River Float Trips.
Why so complicated? Is that to make dumb guys like me look dumber?
That is exactly what.
It's a great shop, great people, great guides, everything.
And then what's in Thermop? Is it still?
Wind River Canyon.
It's still Wind River Canyon. Is it Wind River Canyon Whitewater?
And fly fishing.
Yeah. Again, really long. But it's the only game in town.
Yeah.
So that's the place you go. So
a couple quick housekeeping things. One, last week we were mentioning if you want to fish Yellowstone National Park, Mickey Wong
is
the best, and Mickey came up and stopped me in the parking lot, and he's like, you know, he said, hey, I listen, thanks so much for mentioning one thing, I don't work for Madison River Outfitters anymore.
Yeah, he works
for BSA.
And as I said it, you gave me the skunk eye, and I was thinking, I think I missed something here.
Yeah, well, it's hard when
but you
know
gave me a freaking skunk eye.
Yeah,
he's been at the same place, but... It won't matter if you can get him. He's a blast.
And then kind of on that same note, BSA is throwing the second annual edition of the Wretched Mess Festival in early September in West Yellowstone.
And that was really fun last year.
We're going to be doing a live podcast there. So if you've got questions that we keep skipping or can't get to, come ask them in person there. It'll be super fun. They've got casting competitions, tons of speakers.
And we talked a lot about the shops in West. We were talking about Bucky and other things. And all those people, it's in West Yellowstone. It's a great opportunity to go. You go for the afternoon or one event. It's not like an all, you know, weekend thing. It's a day.
Yep.
And you get, or, you know, even if they move it into having an event the day before, you know, it's not an all-day thing. You can just go have a blast, have live music, lots of speakers and tires, a lot of tires. Yeah. I mean,
like the Cravens and Brian O'Keefe, possibly Ray Jeff.
There's going to be a bunch of people. And they have a casting. It's really fun stuff there. Great pond to cast on. But it's not something you got to dedicate a whole week to or something like that. It's just such a fun, and it's a great time to be fishing the park. We talked about fishing the park last week or the week before. And it's a great time to fish the park. And the events are just kind of downtimes anyway. So it'll be a blast if you haven't been to it.
Yeah. So stop by there.
In the old days, West Yellowstone was like the hub. It was always like TU or FFF, well, now it's IFFF, had their annual thing there. It was in the fall. That's how I started coming. I came out to that all the time. Yeah. And it was like the who's who was there. Just cool. I mean, I remember I sat one time with Lee Wolf and Lefty and God, just who's who of who. And nobody cares. Just a bunch, everybody's hanging out. Yeah. Nobody.
Just a bunch of fish.
And it's the same way. It's all a bunch of fish heads. And so go if you can. It'll be a blast.
Just on another note, something that was kind of funny, we show up yesterday morning to the fly shop, meet our guides and meet Darren, and we walk in here and
the girls were mean to me.
Yeah, the girls sitting at the front desk. They've got
Evie,
one of
Evie?
Kelly's original videos.
Yeah. And Kevin told me you have a good jaw.
Yeah.
You have a good jaw.
Yeah, so
what happened to it?
I've got some.
Evie made
video
fun
of
me.
I'll throw it in here. If Kelly watching himself.
Where are
it's
they?
Kind of funny.
Yes. They didn't get
coffee, I think.
They didn't have honey for my tea. Don't they know who I am?
Darren sells these great mugs here. They're by a company that Kelly's not really on board with. I don't mind.
You can't see.
I think those are great mugs.
I think it's the single best mug in history. Yeah. Just don't think. Yes, it's a Yeti. Yeah, we do love you, Yeti. I just like to make fun of you.
They've got a great design. Super cool.
Who did that? This is badass. Check this out.
Remember who did that design?
What's the gal's name?
The logo.
These things are cool. Those are beaded hats that the gal local tribal gal does here. What's her name?
I'm blanking her name.
Think about it.
The gal that works in our shop, it's her sister.
Very cool, though.
We'll put it in after.
It's a Patagucci hat. Yeah, we'll put it in later. Yeah. I'm getting one for Mel.
Cool.
Maybe she'll actually row me again. God.
You've been on the hot seat, huh?
Nah, she hasn't rowed me in all week, all year. I mean,
all right.
Maybe once or twice.
So let's jump into some questions. This one was sent to slide in Instagram from CamFJ60. He said, "Hi, Kelly and crew. What do you think about Northwest
Energy?" Are you the crew?
Energy? Yeah, I'm probably crew. Maybe Johnny, Chris, Matt, everybody else.
Those guys?
"What do you think about Northwestern Energy keeping the flows out of Hebgen Dam at 400 CFS? It's odd considering that the lake is half a foot higher than the 20-year average and less than 2 feet from completely full."
2 inches, actually. what do I think about it? I think there's a lot of regulations in this world, and that's a FERC license. And the FERC license, it's the most unique that I know of reservoir in the country. Their FERC license is predicated not on hydro. There's no hydro demand and there's no agricultural demand. It is 100%, Hebgen Lake is 100% a reservoir for cooling our river. And so it sucks that it's that low. I don't think it's a detriment this early because we still had a lot of water coming from the creeks. The fishing's great. The one thing it's a detriment is it's advancing our hatches maybe 2 weeks and water's lower. But they have a point they have to get to, and it's not 2 foot, it's 2 inches from full. But it's actually, the last time I looked, it was 4 inches from full. But with the temperatures we're having, the evaporation rate, it's probably almost equal to I think inflow was 700, 800, something like that. The outflow was 390 last I looked, which is just ridiculously low. Good news is all those rainbow, they're all elven, everything's capable of sustaining. They're not killing off a lot of stuff there with the dry dock and then that upper river. It's probably safe there. But it is one thing, huh? Yeah, I don't think there's any spawning.
All those beds are completely dry.
Yeah, but there's nothing on those beds. That's just, the eggs are all way below that. Okay. And those eggs are already developed to the point that they're probably all swim up by now. And so, but the only thing I have a real bone of contention with on it is because that river, and it's predicated on, I don't remember exactly, I think if the river hits at Black Fort, if it's three consecutive days at 72 or one at 74, they have to flush the river. And that's what it's for. That's why we have that incredible fishery. It flushes the river and it cools it. That's what it's for. The reservoir is to cool the river. And it has very detrimental things to them. If they get to a certain level, then they get really big fines. And there's also, I understand, which I didn't know, Johnny told me, they also it's fineable if they don't get the reservoir to a certain level by a certain date. That one was new to me. And so, but the good news is it's full enough that we'll have water all summer to go and, you know, be able to cool the river. And so, and ideally, we would never be put into Hoodall, which is another thing, which is FWP, which I think is a total crock of shit, where they put us on Hoodall, and that year was one of the coolest years for the river in history. And that was for supposed angler displacement. That is the stupidest thing on earth. Like, all of a sudden, people were going to rush to our river, like, from the Missouri or something. So we're going to get, because you can fish till noon, right? This Hoodall thing. And I'm probably the turd in the punch bowl on this one, but I don't believe in that heat killing fish. There's no studies I've ever seen that say that temperature will harm fish. They just go dour. They go very low, and they do not eat. I don't give a shit. You could throw a fistful of night crawlers at them. They don't eat. I dealt with the Michigan. Most states don't deal with this because they all know. If we yesterday were fishing really, really hard. Darren's unbelievable fisherman. I'm doing my best to do something. When fish go off, they go off. You don't catch them. I don't give a shit what you throw. I mean, we were talking about a bass show the other day. Just watched the Elite. I think it was Elite. I can't remember what I was watching just the other day. And I said that these tournaments are won by ounces. These are 25 of the best anglers in the world. And nobody can catch a fish for 3 hours. Nobody.
Right.
Best in the world. There's $300,000 on the line. One guy's behind the other guy, 4 freaking ounces. You think this guy's not trying to catch fish. They don't want to eat. They don't eat. Yesterday, Darren and I are floating down. All of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. What did we get? 4 or 5 fish in 15 minutes going 2 hours without. Window, I went through, of course, Braden brought this up at breakfast, which was really nice of him. It's called elder abuse. I went through 19 flies. He said, did you count the 9 you left in the trees? And I'm like, shit. I still have the box. I'll show it when we do the thing, my gut pile from yesterday. I mean, I'm going through, and as usual, the classic cougar comes in and just starts crushing it. And then it goes off. And we, on the streamer bite, Darren kept doing, well, it actually got better for him in the afternoon. After we were close to the end, they started eating that. What'd you have on?
I had a peanut.
Oh, yeah. Peanut, a circus peanut dry.
Yeah, it's Dornan's, right?
Dornan's, yeah.
Dornan's. Yeah,
yeah. Dornan's. He got
it's a good bug.
That bastard, he just comes up with such great. That's what, we could have stopped with all salmon flies with the water walker for history.
Right.
Nah, I mean, shit, we still, the guy is so good.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
No,
he's such a nice guy, too.
I haven't met him.
Yeah. If you haven't fished it, you're.
Yeah, especially in the stone fly world.
Yeah, in the stone world. Well, in that.
The foam
and
world.
The foam world. That peanut, that circus peanut in the park. Man, if you fish the park without that thing, you're just.
Really, any like cutthroat waters.
I mean, any cut.
Yellow foam and cutthroat.
Just. That's something I got to argue or talk to Darren about. Sir, told me that weren't many brown trout in this upper stretch, and that's all we caught. We killed them. We crushed it. I actually think I might have killed one yesterday. That one that bit the shit out of me, he was bleeding pretty hard.
Yeah, Kelly's got some scarred up hands.
Yeah, my fingers. All this shit, we're in the back. I'm not a real fan of fishing out of rafts because I'm old and twisting like this and doing that. And I hit a few rocks, my fault. Whenever you get thrown in a boat, it's your fault. You're supposed to look.
Yeah.
You know, but I got my head up my ass most of the time looking for fish. And,
it's true.
And I'm thinking of all this stuff. You're jumping in and out of the boats and, you know, and I trip on a rock here and there. The only thing that hurts on me today is my finger from sticking in that brown's mouth.
Yeah, it's bleeding pretty good.
It's killing. Well, they do give you a little bit of infection.
Yeah.
Not like a pike. Man, reach your finger in a mouth.
Chum.
Pike mouth. Chum? Yeah. Is that bad?
Oh yeah, they call it.
I told you I don't touch chum.
Fish finger.
Remember I told you my number one show, Fly Fish TV. I never caught a fish. We had lots of fish on. I'm like chum. I don't even. I just break my fly off. Yeah. Gross piece of shit. I don't want to touch them. Ugly the pussy things.
Never mind. All right,
only
new question.
Fat ones.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that. Hopefully our listeners didn't. New question. This one's from Shane Pierce. It says, podcast question. Threw a triple dungeon last weekend from my boat. Looked like a small drowned cat. My buddies were basically laughing at it and me. But right when everyone was cracking jokes, a pig exploded on it. I missed it, of course. Do you ever fish triple Ds? Where and when?
I fished triples less than I used to, but on the white, I fished them. That picture of, in my book, there's a picture of Polly with this giant brown trout. Polly's, she's a really cool, she worked for us for a couple of years, really cool chick, and she, really good caster. And I remember that day we were floating, and every time there was, I forget who was with us, somebody else was with us, and I'd throw one in, and she'd throw one in and be like, that much further? She goes, how do you like that? Every time. And it's a triple dungeon, and she cracked a giant on it. Beautiful fish. I fish it in where I tend to fish it more in really big water, and it's a handful. That's any of the triples.
Bug to me.
Yeah, it's any triples, it's a handful, but it's
a big fly.
It throws a giant profile. It swims really quick. As big flies go, it's pretty light actually. As big flies go, not quite as light as like a kill whitey, but it is a big fish. They do get on it. Yeah. I mean, but you pay for it a little bit. It's not a pleasant, any fly that, when you start talking about having to step to 8 weights, it means you're committed to the project. You are there for a reason. And I don't necessarily, I mean, I was listening to Chad and Alex on Chad's podcast, and he was saying something about how Whitlock said that, you know, it takes a special fish to do that. But all fish will eat a 3-inch fly every day. And I've always subscribed to that, but I just, there's times when, like we got in that pissing match last week or 2 weeks ago about, you know, the only difference between you and everybody else is your fly. And that means if everybody's running the same, if they all run a triple dungeon, you got to do something different. And maybe it doesn't. And that's something that I think we get wrong a lot. I don't know if I'm the one that did it for why people believe this, but going bigger means bigger fish. I mean, that's not true. You go in and out of size just like you do color.
Yeah. So for example, I remember hearing Kelly told me about his buddy Bill Erdman, who I've met now, who's we talk about him a lot.
He's on the Fly Show. Is he the next episode?
He'll be the second episode this season whenever we decide to release him, which will probably be soon. But Bill, Kelly told me Bill had cracked, I think, 6 fish over 10 pounds in the dam hole between the lakes. Now, I think that was over 15 years ago when he got all those fish. But they're all at night.
They did it the other night.
Did they get a good one up
there? They had two. Michael thought he thought it was between 8 and 10.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't land it. Got it at the feet, and he was messing around.
Yeah.
But with these guys, that's still special to them, but they've caught plenty of them.
Yeah.
I believe it was over 30 inches. That's a 10 pounder.
Yeah. So,
but it was also in like a month.
Right. Yeah. So giant fish, right? And I hear that, and the first thing I do is I went and bought every pattern of triple dungeon or menage a dungeon, which is just a little bit different.
And actually, I think the menage is what Polly got hurt, and what I fish more. I fish the menage more than I do the triple.
They're pretty similar. The menage
just has a different body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I bought every pattern we had. I went up between the lakes right at dusk. I was throwing the white one, and my first cast, it got obliterated by a 7-inch trout. And that's about a 7-inch fly, right?
Some of them are, seven and a half.
Yeah, I mean, and so if you think that fly is too big, I mean, brown trout are predators. It was a tiny fish.
Yeah.
It blew it up. I mean, broadsided it. So just, same thing, like you said, colors. I mean, sizes, profiles, they're important as well. Sometimes they're on the big shit, sometimes they're.
Yeah, when they're in it, but do tend to have better luck in lower light situations, dirty water situations, last light situations. By the way, Bill fishes from 10 till 3 in the morning.
You were saying Bill fishes nighttime?
Yeah, he goes when they're eating. So
yeah, if you want to get giant fish, fish at night. It's scary.
Yeah, look at those. There. Yeah, look at those kids up in, I think it's in Alberta. I can't remember, those two brothers that fish the lakes that crack double back-to-back worlds, I think, rainbows. And they're fishing. They're gear guys, but I mean, they're fishing. I wish there wasn't so much delineation between gear and fly. It's just, we always say gear guys, right? We're all fishing.
Right. Yeah, everybody's fishing.
But we want to be fly guys for whatever reason.
So another thing
so
that,
have more fun.
This wasn't really a specific question from somebody, but something I feel like we should talk about because it is salmon fly season on the Madison. I think that we should just give a little.
Which is really early.
It is very early. Yeah. Because the low water thing, water's warmer than it should be. It might be a tough year across the state for the Freestones and everyone else that doesn't have water.
Unless something happens.
As far as
bad fire year, all that shit.
Why don't we just give a little kind of how-to, what you should be doing, what's the process we run. I've been out fishing them constantly, you know, doing a lot of morning missions, doing a lot of late evening stuff, sometimes all day, and... There's kind of a system, you know, that I've been working on, but a lot of it's heavily influenced by our guides, by Kelly and Johnny.
Not me so much. I'm not as, Johnny is
Johnny
a,
for sure.
Johnny is just an absolute, got a monster just 2 days ago. I mean, for me, the salmon fly, it's the greatest thing on earth when it happens. There's just nothing better. It's why our river is so famous. That's what drew everyone into our river. And in the old days, you go anywhere in the U.S. I don't care where. People kind of tended to show up for about a 2 week windows. Uh-huh. And they chased, even way back when, they knew when everybody's always looking for the biggest fish. And salmon flies are definitely going to bring your biggest fish up. Yeah. But as Randy Brown said in his, what was that thing we were reading? Is that an Instagram post?
No, I
can't remember, whatever. But he was saying how hard it was because so many people fish it and they've been stung so many times, which behooves you to get your ass out of bed or stay up late if you go midday. You know, salmon flies are nocturnal and we get lucky to see them on the water. And all their movement, though, is in their flight. It's great when you see them come back and hit the water egg lane, which is pretty rare. But for, you know, early morning, and I mean, when you start talking, you're either mid-river or you are 1 centimeter from the bank. And you better, everybody thinks they can just plop a big fly out there, just like with streamers. Well, just throw the big fly out there and they're going to come and get it. Such bullshit. It is 100% technique. It is, you get luck. Everybody gets lucky. Everybody's got a story about some giant fish. But on the Madison, which is a really, really used river, especially during that 2-3 week window, if your A game isn't being able to tuck that fly within literally rub rocks and grass, you're shit out of luck in them giant food.
Putting
fish.
It under the bank.
Yeah, you rub it or you're under it.
Yeah.
And you do not get, and you go with Johnny or any of these guys, I don't care who you go with, and you plop one out there 4 inches from the bank and you think you're a superstar, you're going to get a yawn. It has to rub the rock or go under the grass. And those big fish are really, really hip to us. Imagine 125 boats a section going, all throwing the same 3 or 4 flies.
Right.
And one of the guys, Randy, talked about the old days fishing sofa pillows, which nobody knows what is anymore, but, and, you know, being able to do a lot of things you couldn't do now.
Yep.
And it, you know, and the, and he went through all the refusals. Really good. We're gonna if I can find I'll repost it so you can
actually
read
I want to read a chunk.
Yeah, I mean it's but it's go ahead read it. I thought it was hilarious.
So this is
it's a guide, one of the longest standing guides on the Madison River.
Yep. So this is Randy Brown.
I think his number's like 9 or something. My number's 1400 something. Yeah, his number's like 6 or 9
so
or 3. I don't know.
He's probably seen some changes.
Yeah, I think it's a single digit. Mine's 1400.
So this is on Randy Brown's Madison Fly Fisher. We'll post a link to it because I thought it was a great read. It's really well written. It's funny. I enjoyed it a lot. But he says, you know, he starts talking about a video where a couple local guides were filming the salmon fly hatch, and it's called Big Bugs, Big Misses. And says, you know, the guys work for a shop in town. They're throwing big dry flies at the banks, blah, blah, blah. They're getting tons of refusals. And he says, no human faces were shown, and the voices were run through a changer app to sound like a water buffalo in heat every time a fish made a move at the fly.
That was funny.
One of the comments on Instagram offered, but Kelly Gallup, spelled your name wrong, said that fish never miss a fly. Like most Instagram trout fishers, the commenter was clueless. Kelly Gallup, of course, is widely known in the fly fishing world with a gazillion followers, blah, 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 blah. Kelly has forgotten more about fly fishing for trout than the commenter and the boys in the boat will ever know. Kelly's premise is that trout seldom miss a fly, and he's right. It rarely happens, but they refuse fake flies all the time, especially large, bulky bundles of deer hair, foam, plastic, or rubber meant to imitate Pteranarcissus californica, the salmon fly. So he goes on. I mean, it's a great article. You should go read it. Not just that it was, you know, pumping Kelly's brakes, but he talks about this phenomenon. Like, I went out and fished a day with Will Phelps, who some of you guys might know. He's a big YouTube guy, and his girlfriend Erica. And, you know, I kept talking about my previous days where Parker and I, who's one of our guides, we went 1 for 15 on. It's hard to even call them eats because a lot of them aren't eats, right? They show on the fly. They're not eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with Will and Erica, I mean, we might have rolled 15, 18 really quality fish where you're seeing, you know, you're either seeing the mouth, you're seeing the fish. You know, we had a number of them actually eat it, hook up to them, and then lose them. But we had a lot where they, you know, they come up and they push it with their mouth. Or they grab the fly, but they don't actually eat it. They take it down, and you can still see the white foam or whatever's on top. And then the ones who, you know, the ones you generally land are the ones that actually swallow the thing. So
commitment.
Yes. So there's a lot of different types of eats, and I think Randy hit the nail on the head here with, you know, I never fished it in the old days, but I'm sure back then the fish weren't nearly as weary of the fake foam.
Well, yeah, you know. They got hip to it. There wasn't any peep.
Right.
It's easier. I mean, if you only get hooked once a week, it's one thing. If you get, and you know, when I said that about not, when you know, they'd never miss. When they want to eat it, they aren't missing it. That's the point. When you, my point was people saying they were nipping the tail or they're, you know, he missed it, and they just don't miss ever. Right. They're so accurate. I mean, they're looking for things, that are alive and running, yes. Right? They make calculated and they hit. But they do that where they hit streamers too, where they'll close their mouth right before, or I've seen them shake them. I've seen them do a lot of shit, but they did not eat it to, you know, eat it. And then the salmon fly world, it is probably twice as bad, maybe 4 times as bad, yeah. Where they come up, the inspection time isn't, they're not racing. If they race over to salmon fly, you couldn't get it away if you tried.
Yep.
If they want it, they're getting it.
Yeah. But you ever heard of a toilet bowl? It happens.
Yeah. Woof, just like instant. So there, we did it 20 years ago, 22 years ago. Andy and I were out back and we were feeding them live salmon flies and they rejected over 90% of live ones.
Yeah. That are fluttering.
I'd break a wing on one and throw it in the water so it's got one wing doing this.
Don't call PETA.
Huh? Please do. Jagasses. So off they would go. I don't think anybody watching this is going to call PETA. But
no,
if they do,
so.
Good. We don't send them our way. But the fish would come up and they would go, and I had my hand in the air because I keep remembering it. Not very many people are watching this. But they would come up and literally push a fly, a live fly fluttering.
Yep.
push that son of a bitch up maybe a quarter of an inch.
With their mouths closed.
And ride it like it's a circus trick.
Yep.
And then go back. Sometimes they go back and do that 2-3 times. It's right in the backyard, right?
Yeah,
in
you
the
see channel. That fish go fully vertical, right?
Oh, yeah. Come tap, 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 tap. You know, drop down. Think about it. Go downstream and do the same shit again.
Yep.
And never eat it. And it's like, they don't do that with goldens, by the way. They eat freaking goldens.
Yeah, they
eat. I think salmon flies taste like shit or something. Because
Will
they just
ate one. He said it tastes like a salad.
Salad?
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's what they eat. And so, I don't know, but they don't pass goldens. But if you're not on, like you were saying, if everything isn't right, and when everything's right, you still have a very low percentage of a giant making a mistake.
Yep.
He still comes out, I've said it about my streamers a million times, no matter how great I think my fly looks, it still doesn't really look like shit to it. It is not real. No matter, your brain tells you, the whole premise of my Cripples and Spinners book was that when I looked at the spinner on the water, I'd been told this is what the imitation looks like, and it is perfect. And it was so far from right, it was unbelievable. And so now you take something that's a, you know, 3/6 or, you know, 1/8 of an inch long up to maybe 1/2 inch, 3/4 of an inch long. And there's not much inspection. You take a 5-inch fly, or in this case, a salmon fly that's 2 inches, 2.5 inches long. Mm. They come underneath it. Your brain says, oh, this fly looks just like this. You know, I love water walkers. I mean, I think it's the greatest ever, right? Doesn't look like shit in reality to a real one.
Right.
And so they come under it, they get this inspection time. Big fish aren't racing. It's like we talk about 13-inch streamers or 13-inch streamer fish. That is the 18, that's the 13-inch, I'm sorry. Those little fish, and I always equate it to a 13-year-old boy running down barefoot on gravel, and he'll eat anything that he can grab and run past, you know, in the house. Oh, I'm just chow, right?
Yep.
Dumb. Yep. Stupid. It's like having Jacob at the house. I hope you're listening to this. God dang. I've never raised a teenage boy. It was like, I told him about 5 times, I talk about you in my podcast a lot. Yeah. You do? No, I just use you as a reference. You're the dumb boy that's a 13-inch yes. trout that'll eat anything. Ah, slam the door. Gotta go.
He's got a mouth on him. My goodness.
He's funnier than shit.
Yeah, no, he is. He's really funny. The first time I met him, I never met him before. I didn't know who he was, right? I walk in, he's tying flies at Kelly's desk. Kyler starts mouthing off to me as is tradition. I go, I said something about, you know, Kyler, why don't you just shut the hell up? And Jacob just pops up. He goes, can't you get your point across without cursing? And I went, I don't like you. I don't know you, and I don't like
19
you.
19 years.
No, he was funny.
It's all reference to the fact that juvenile fish they're just juveniles. They're teenage boys. They're dumb, right? And so we all were, and we all ate a lot of shit you don't eat when you get older. And it's just like a fish. But that inspection time, after... You know, Randy's point was, after you've been hooked, you know, a bajillion times, every time you look at something, you're saying, is it worth it? You know? And so, and when you start talking, I've always talked about the degree of change as things get bigger. You know, the inspection time. You take a trico that's, you know, 3/16 of an inch long or whatever, not a lot of, you can be 50% wrong and not have that much difference.
Right.
Now you take a 5-inch fly, or in this case, a 3-inch, 2.5, 3-inch salmon fly. There's a lot of inspection.
Tons.
And there's a lot of things you can look up and go, nice try, dumbass.
Yeah.
See
yeah.
you next year.
Yeah. No, I remember my first year fishing salmon flies on the Madison. I was out with Jeremy. He's just he's such a fishy dude. He's our shop manager for a really long time. And he's rowing me, and I see this gold bar under my fly, just floating downstream with it, matching its pace. I mean, its mouth had to be 3 inches from it, just looking at it. And Jeremy goes, He goes, fucking twitch it. Do something. What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I thought he was going to eat it. And, you know, the fish just slowly turns it off and goes down.
Yeah, yeah. Twitch it.
And, yeah, so, I mean, they get pretty weary. They get pretty wise to it. And that, I do think a lot of the time they come up and they touch it.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
I'm sure they can tell.
All the time.
It's foam. It's whatever.
They, and those things, you know, that was a case we were talking about something about, I think it was last week when I went on that rant about the, I think it was, but that when I, the guy said that, but my point was just to sell flies or some shit like that. But
oh, yeah.
if you, and I said, if you're not actively moving your dry flies, you're probably leaving fish. And there's a time and place,
yep.
You know, like running foam, twitch, 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 twitch,
yep.
You know, there's less inspection time and it's a trigger.
Yep.
But you know, there's only half the time you can trigger a fish, especially on a salmon fly.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's,
you can
the,
or cannot, and you'll never know what it is, because one day they'll eat a twitch and one day they won't.
So why don't we get into the playbook of how to fish these things? And I've been working on this kind of my strategy, and it, like I said, it's a culmination of, you know, Johnny, Parker, Daniel Bragg, Chris, Jeremy, Dan Green, all these guys, you know, Chuck, Kyler, Jake, I mean, everybody I fish with, I try to watch what they're doing and see what works and put things together. So let's start with flies. I think it's beneficial to have a couple different patterns and a couple different sizes in those patterns. And what I like to see in the different types of patterns are flies that sit high in the water, flies that sit low in the water, black body flies, more of orange or maybe a brown bodied fly. So you've got a couple different colors.
On that, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. Any guide worth his salt carries markers with them.
Yep.
And you'll get a feeling that, you know, and most of it in the old days, I mean, not old days, I mean, just a few years ago, generally started with there's days when they'll eat that just ridiculously fluorescent orange shit.
Yeah, like
right?
That Rio, what's that Rio, the giant one.
I can't remember.
Yeah, the flash as of the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's huge, it's bright orange. There's days
there was another one that was like a rubbery orange that just, some days would just kill it.
Yeah.
Or some days they're getting too much inspections, too many looks. And I think a lot of this has to do with like season two. When they're first here, you can twitch the hell out of them, and you can elicit strikes on them.
Yep.
It doesn't work when there's thousands, after they've seen thousands. Right. For me, it doesn't. But the other thing about the marker thing, it's just kind of a guide trick. If you know, guide's worth a shit. To me, when a guy says something like that, you know, obviously I'm friends with more guides than most people. And there's guys that work really hard for you, and there's guides that don't. All right, might be better to say work hard for themselves, because if you're out there just rowing the boat and you don't give a shit, you know, you're past tense anyway. If you're out there wanting to figure it out, like Johnny and the rest of the guys and Scotty and the rest, you will see they have little nuances. And one of them is they will have not a palette of markers, but they will have several shades of colors, and they'll take a fly and they will just marker the belly, maybe to tone it down just a little, maybe stripe something. Something will give them a hint that let's just try this.
Yep.
And it's just the guys who don't say it's either going to work or it isn't, you may be right.
Yeah.
You may be right. It may not. But a little effort, if nothing else, it keeps you engaged.
Right.
On those days when nothing will eat and you will do nothing to change it, my book, you're washed up.
Yep.
You're just, or never had it in you to start with.
Yep.
So that to me is exactly what you said. And knowing when that high riding fly, and you know, I've had it, and I'm not a junkie on the hatch, because I'm usually, for most of my life, I was in the shop.
Yep.
You know, wasn't out in those prime times. But I always find a low rider and a high rider, you've got times of days, and you got wind events and things. I like in high winds, I kind of like when I can twitch around a little bit, move,
yep.
Let it bounce on the water.
Egg droppers, right?
Yep.
When flying and
yep.
Eggs.
And so there's a million nuances that we couldn't cover. And I don't even think Johnny could. Johnny is such a junkie on this hatch and has so many little his own secrets. But it comes down to, again, effort. You've got a low rider and a high rider. You got a bright day fly and a dark day fly. You got egg drop
yep.
flies. You got spent flies, like sometimes
it's
you're like
not any
sunk
different
flies.
Than streamers, right? You've got your profiles, your
exactly.
colors, your sizes.
Exactly.
To try and to figure
you're
out
one of the flies is Nick's Sunk Stone, which was to me, that back in the day, that was the first innovation ever. Because it was a fly that was dressed and lay in the water, right? It's the most simple fly on earth. No rubber legs, none of that shit. I'm surprised no one didn't rubber leg the Nick Sunk Stone and call it their own. But it was just deer hair stacked, like four or five stacks on the top, and the body's orange and laid right down in the water.
So that's kind of covering flies pretty well. As far as, I think types of water is probably the most important thing when it comes to salmon flies, maybe just fishing in general. But understanding where your fish are going to be at what time of day. So I used to only target banks, right? Try to be under the bank as far as I could. You know, and I'm generally looking for banks that have water moving on them. You know, there's got to be a conveyor belt, right? Otherwise, there's no food coming to the fish. Otherwise, they're just laid up there kind of searching. So
it's hard to describe that water.
Yeah.
Because all water, some really fast water will go under there too.
But that's where I started fishing more this year. When I was out with Parker, I said, what do you think about this bank? Do you think it's too fast? He goes, God, no. Once I got a 22 there, he goes, I'll show you. Yeah. And he cracked about an 18 off that bank. And it's ripping water under.
Yesterday, we were running the thing. That's what I'm saying. You got to clarify the fact that it's not just water running. And it doesn't have to just be speed. It has to go with a flow through it.
Yes.
Right? It has to convey what you're asking it to do.
Yeah.
Just like yesterday on that, the fastest bank, the biggest banks, brought the most fish up.
Yep.
Which, to me, I would not, in the streamer world, I don't really usually find those as effective. But
there were stoneflies, right?
There were stoneflies.
Right?
That's the point. There was a lot of flies.
Yes.
Drakes
tons,
and flies and caddis. And there's the conveyor belt, and there's the fish over there.
So they're going to follow their food, right? And then I think time of day is a huge part of this. And I was just talking with Johnny about this. You know, he was telling me they cracked a couple really big fish right on the banks. You know, 2 inches was too far off. I said, that's very different than my experience yesterday. All of our big fish came off bank on either the, you know, the bottom of the trough or the first shelf off bank where there's moving water. And he said, well, what time of day did you fish? Well, we put on it at about 11:30 a.m. He goes, exactly. Those fish will move off bank when the sun's high or when those bugs aren't hatching. It's a nocturnal hatch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fishing really early in the morning before the sun's up, you know, maybe even a dark day when those bugs are actively hatching, you go to where
they're drying off themselves, right?
Yes.
They're becoming adults.
They crawl out,
they get thrown in, they get all kinds of shit, right? They get wind, fall in, whatever. They're leaving.
Yep.
But, you know, I mentioned in the beginning, you're fishing banks or mid-river. I frequently find that I go behind where the boats are because they tend to, I've said it in my videos or my slideshows, not slideshow, PowerPoints. And I remember that one slide where I draw the red lines behind the boat, where the boats go, and there's one yellow line where you get out to go pee.
Yeah.
And so, but boats, people tend to follow, they're herd in, they go right down the same spots. And I find that I start getting mid-river exclusive, or right where the trail of boats goes.
Yep.
Because nobody ever messes with them right under the boat.
Nobody fishes the boat lines.
No. And so I think they figure that out. And our river's a bell curve. You know, it goes down and up to the middle. So you've got four banks, really, each.
Four
and then you got the flats, right? And the mid-river, I say it for streamers, say it for dries, mid-river flats that have that, it's got to be, if you can't read this, how often have we said, this is the most important thing. If you can't read your water, you can't fish well.
Yeah.
I don't give a if you're the Steve Ray Jeff and you can cast across the continent, it doesn't matter. If you and that's I'm always bitching about casting too far. If the line is 15 feet from you, it's 15 feet from you.
Yeah.
And if you can't read that flat area where that gives them, it'll be always be in the middle of a river and you'll see it. It'll be 10 to 30, 40 feet long at best, and it will be a spot where the current has changed and the top of the water will change. It'll change. It'll show it to you. And those fish will sit in the middle of that thing all day unmolested.
Yep.
But most people look at all, and it, the next 50 feet below it is total dog shit. It's not going to hold a fish. You have to read your water.
Yep.
You guys are good at reading water, right? You're on a river that's complicated.
Yep.
It's just tough, right? Watch Johnny go down the river and his boat, it's like he's on, it's like somebody's directing it. It'll just jump 40 feet instantly to the middle hit a 10-foot section, goes right back like it's on some sort of conveyor, down the river it goes, right?
If you did a tracking of Johnny's.
Oh, Jesus.
If he floats a 6-mile like section, radical. He goes 10 miles.
Easy,
yeah,
easy,
yeah,
and it's right here because he's identified it, and that's when you start playing that game. Where I got the conveyor belt over here, but it's midday, and well, they've moved off, and now every boat's here. Well, they're going over top every one of these. That's just fishing.
Yeah.
That's just breaking it all down.
Yeah.
What it gets me is that some people they don't want to do that. They just want to go throw a fly and catch a fish.
Yeah.
I would just hang myself if I had to do that. If I had to quit. Figuring it out is the only fun part.
It's the fun part.
It's like chicks, right? That's the fun part. Then you get married and they shoot you.
Yeah.
just kidding. Well, except all
also
the ex-wives.
These aren't hard and fast rules, right? But what this is it's a suggestion of all the different things that can happen. And you need to work through these. Like, there's days where I'm sure at dawn they'll eat it off river. And there's days where high sun, middle of the day, they'll eat it on bank. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know,
yeah, there's always an exception.
Rules.
But
are exceptions.
You take that mostly early, they're going to be on it.
I mean,
bank.
It's just like string fishing, right? Bright fly, bright day. Well, that's a great starting place. And more often than not, that's true.
Exactly.
But it's not always
you know,
true.
It's kind of full circling back to what Randy Brown said, where he said, you know, as usual, you're not listening. I said that last week when I got pissed off about that guy. I said, sometimes I think people listening don't listen to a fucking thing. They only hear what they want to hear so they can voice their fucking opinion. Get your own podcast and we'll voice it. And we'll all do it back. It'll be fun. Who cares? But it's what he was saying is this guy doesn't, he never said that. He said he never said they never miss. It was an inference that you totally missed or ignored, right? And so all what you're saying about it's a starting point. Well, if you only have one point, it's all a fucking starting point. That's why you go to more grades than first grade.
Yes.
Right? And I loved sixth grade, all 3 years of it. It was a blast. And I learned something every year. But that's the point. Keep moving. Don't be static in any... I mean, yesterday I'm with Darren fishing, and I'm watching him. He was doing a hopper-dropper style for a long time. And he'd take it off, and he just starts twitching. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's just dead drifting. You know, and he can't, and if he watched it, there's certain waters he dead drifted in, there's certain waters that he twitched more. Well, that wasn't by mistake.
Yes.
Everything about fishing is supposed to be the endless journey, right? You never quit learning, but you do if you go out and just your only thought process, in some ways it's impossible not to have it, but if your only process is to catch fish.
Yeah.
But if then your process becomes catch fish here and here, and I'm going to do it in two different styles. That's what our guys do.
Yep.
They don't, and we started with that in the beginning about people who just want to fish, right? Guides, I mean, that just want to row the river and throw. They're done. They're done, and you don't want to fish with people like that. That's why I fish with the Bill Erdmans of the world, right? And guys who fish gear. And because every time, I fish gear all my life. There it is. I didn't know how to do that. Oh, yeah. One more thing. And somebody wrote in once and said I was a glorified crankbait fisherman. And I said, God, hallelujah. Because that means I was a great crankbait fisherman. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
because I've learned a lot. That means you don't know shit, right? It means you don't know a freaking thing if that's your only thing.
It was like, oops, exposed yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't even know it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's the whole point. And we were talking about that at breakfast with you, that you like to do, to learn and move forward, and learn and move forward. Well, that's the whole premise of life.
Yep.
We're supposed to do that. But in fishing in particular, I have met many people, many, especially in the old days, you know, 20 years ago, Their fly box consisted of about six flies.
Yeah.
And they were happy to go out. But then you thought, and then there's other reasons to fish. They just go out to get away.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to go out. They don't really give a shit. They're going to throw a dry fly the rest of their life. They don't care. They're just as happy.
Reasons to fish.
Yeah. And, but well, this.
What we like to focus on is getting better at it.
We like, I like to focus on is being able to teach people how to get better at it. And so the only way to teach somebody is to have you have continuous success. If you have a fly that you fished once and it caught a fish and you take and tell everybody it's the greatest, you're full of shit. Because tomorrow it ain't going to be the greatest.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
Is there a hot chick over there?
No, I'm watching Tom Rosenbauer pull the line for small fish.
Oh, some, God, stop. They had a good video on
before. I can't
watch
it. I know he's a really nice guy. But,
yes, he is.
He's throwing an Orvis Helios rod. Everybody knows how much I like
30%
those.
More accurate. 30% more accurate.
I threw, who had one in their boat the other day? Jonah. I went and fished with this kid, Jonah, fishy dude. He had one that we were throwing mice on, six weight. Throwing the mice over well. You know, it's not not probably the best test of that rod, but it's a good rod. The marketing's bullshit.
That is the world right there.
Yep.
There's very few shitty rods.
Yeah.
They're really, truly, in this world, how do we digress, but... In this world, the technology is the technology. It's not like somebody's got more technology.
Yeah.
It's such a crock of shit. One engineer's got this, 30% more accurate. God, everybody's got a great...
Well,
and
makes,
it's always been that forever.
If somebody makes a quantum leap, everybody else has it the next year.
Yeah. And it's, and when do you know it was a quantum leap, right? And how much has really changed?
Yeah.
Not.
All right, so back to the salmon fly thing. I think the third... big thing I think about with salmon flies is movement. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Darren, who's, by the way, an incredible caster. He was putting that fly all over wood. I mean, an inch away from it. And like
in
you
pockets,
said,
yes.
He moves. What I noticed, and I'd like to see if you think the same thing, he skates his fly
right
more.
There. Go ahead.
Darren, you feel like you skate your fly more in slower water and do more dead drifting in faster water?
For sure, yeah. And depending on the condition and what's going on and what you're seeing from the fish throughout the day, I mean, we all noticed yesterday there were several times when I would make a big skate and stop, and that's when the fish would come get it.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple eat it on the dead drift in really slow water. So it just kind of depends. But yeah, in general, that's exactly what I do is skate it during the
and it's about changing
water.
It up, right?
It is about
seeing what they react to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think with big dries, if you're going to skate, they're not going to have so much time to look it over and think about it and decide, should I eat that? They're going to just grab it.
Right. Inspection time.
It's more reactionary.
Triggering a response, yeah.
It's, exactly. Just, it's like walking the dog for a year.
Yeah.
Nothing about that looks real. But they got to eat that something. If I had been said 100 times, I had two things I could fish the rest of my life. It usually probably be a frog, but on gear, or it'd be a spook, and I would walk the dog right into death. That would be lovely. If I tipped over dead with a fish eating a topwater bass bait, I would be just happy as a pig in shit.
Right.
You know,
right.
In the fly world, if you can get it twitching a hopper, he's shitting me. What's better than that? That blow up, and then it's like you said, though, it's back to that inspection time. There's just less of it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
So I think time and a place, though.
And when it comes to salmon flies, like you can try to mirror what you're seeing. You know, early in the morning when it's cold, those flies are not moving much. You dead drift them then. Later in the afternoon, you know, they might be on the water, laying eggs, flap around like crazy. But once again, this is just a starting point. Right?
Yeah.
Like there's times where they're moving all over and they want it dead drifted. Times in the morning where they want it
Well, you kind of nailed it on the beginning because the morning's always cold and bugs are slow. It's how many times, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. If it's cold, they're slower.
Yep.
Longer emergence times, less, you know, cooler, less humidity, whatever. The wings don't come up on a mayfly and it takes longer to emerge. You better be observation enough, have enough observation to say, okay, this is what I do.
Yep.
Salmon flies are like catatonic in the morning. You can pick them up. They don't even, they're like, they're like Tin Man. Oral can.
It's kind of like your, it's kind of like Jacob, right?
Yeah.
Jacob.
That piece of shit. You can't move him. He's dead. And so, yeah. And then you get into a flight. Well, obviously hit the fucking water. They don't want to be on that.
No.
You know, they're laying eggs. And they're like, holy shit.
We were talking about it the other day. Imagine how scary, I mean, I don't know if salmon flies think, but imagine how scary it would be to be on the water as a salmon fly.
Yeah.
And it's like you're a seal and there's orca whales.
Yeah.
In the water. Yeah. Coming for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I think a lot of big drives are that way. Like crane flies, same thing. They look like an airplane that can't quite take off when they're laying their eggs. So they're yeah. kind of like, eh, eh. That's the front just like, wham!
Yeah. Yeah, it's the greatest.
The reactionary take. I
mean, nothing's better than a crane fly. It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, we need to film another one of those this year. That's cool.
Did we film one?
With Brian Fletching. Remember? Crane flies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not that forgettable, Brian. Sorry. Sorry.
All right. Well, we need to go fishing, so this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. We've got timelines and weather and everything to account for, so
we're not doing another freaking 40 mile
19-hour float.
Holy shit, I thought we were friends. If he tried to kill me yesterday. Tried to kill me. I didn't even outfish him. Jesus.
So we don't have anything. Yeah, it was a long day. Yeah, long day for me too, watching Kelly just put flies.
It wasn't all day.
No, but it was, there was like a...
There was a 3-hour window where I wanted to, you know, tie the anchor rope around my neck and jump out.
There was a good like 13 minutes where I think you might have made 3 casts. Well, then there was double leaders. No,
and then there was also one where I was just getting so I would go like this with my rod and go to the other side of the boat and wrap it around James' head. It's like, whoops, sorry.
Sorry, Jason.
Jason, I mean. Yeah, yeah. What did I say, James? Who's James?
Jason. So we don't have, obviously, we're not in our desk. We're in Darren's shop. Thanks again.
Beautiful shop.
Yeah, great shop. Great folks here.
What's the website?
WindRiverFloatTrips.com.
WindRiverFloatTrips.com.
We only have one mic, so Darren's not. Yeah. We were going to do this all together, but camera boy.
Yeah, I didn't do my job. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, funny. Great shop, great people. I mean, yeah. Really, truly.
Come see the girls. They'll pick on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they just pick on old people like me.
It is, if you're
they refused my donuts. There could be a joke there.
I mean, if you're looking for a unique experience, when everybody claims they have one, there aren't that many truly unique trout fishing experiences left in the U.S. This
well,
is one.
And in particular, because we're on the res, there isn't 60 boats coming. And he runs this thing like...
One.
He runs this like, you know,
there's,
like you should.
It's one boat a day, right, Darren?
Correct. In this per section.
Yeah, one boat per section.
Yeah, try that anywhere else.
Yeah.
Don't come to my lodge expecting that.
Yes.
Well, you could if you came in February.
Yeah.
Hey, but you got to help push the boat over the 40 feet of snow to get there.
If you come to our lodge and you complain about how busy the river is, come see Darren.
Yes.
Come see Darren.
Yes. It's that's why I always say it's my favorite fishery in the U.S.
No, I mean, it's truly a special deal. And since we're not in our desk, you know, we can't do something cool behind the desk. We're just going to say, come look at all the cool stuff Darren has.
Okay, how about Band of the Week?
Band of the Week.
Start.
Darren. You had a band? Band of the Week.
What's your favorite band? Rock or country?
That's a good question. There's a, you know.
Now, you don't get this long. You don't get this long. You got to say.
You got to go. Okay.
What's your wife's? Oh, no, better yet. What's your wife's favorite band?
That's where I get this hesitation. She won't answer that question. She's like, well, so I'll just
What a drag. I was hoping we could put you on the hot seat. Now, let's go with you. What you think your wife's best favorite band is.
Her best favorite band, I would say, is probably something like Nirvana.
Okay.
Get
now, what's yours?
I'd probably go with either the Stones or AC/DC.
Good.
Nice. Good choices. What you got?
Who am I going to go with this
Don't
time?
Don't you take mine. We talked about it in the car. Don't you take mine.
I don't like them.
Okay.
I do like them.
I'm going with the band.
Okay.
Driftwood. It's a great tune if you haven't heard it. Give it a go.
I was really wanting to go with Ted again because it was his 50th anniversary of Stranglehold a couple of days ago. Let's see. I got something way off. I like the Eagles. I haven't done the Eagles.
All right.
Man, I hate the Eagles. Don't play the Eagles.
I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Get out of my
cat.
It's
just your opinion, man.
It's just your, it's just your opinion. Don't piss on the rug.
Really tied the room together. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Hopefully that was informative and fun.
We were killing time a little bit because I didn't want to fish in the rain, and it is clearing up per cue.
Yeah, the weather people cannot get it right.
That's all right. As long as I'm not freezing all day, I don't give a shit.
45 degrees, thunderstorms, yes. And rain.
Yesterday was supposed to be a high of about 65. What do you think it was at the peak? 80?
It got at least 80.
80 at least. Yeah, that's cool with me. I hope they're that wrong again today.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a short float, though, so.
Well, thanks for watching. We're going to have some great content with Darren coming out. Bunch of other fly show stuff. Wretched Mess Festival. Mickey Wooten works for BSA. Get everything there. Sandflies, go throw them. Don't know if you don't go.
You only got a week or 10 days left of the sandflies by the time you see this, so get there and get it done. Thank you.
Thanks for watching, folks.
Thanks for watching.